Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Harden, played by Holiday.
You have to think Durant will get the ball here on this play. Possibly a post-up opportunity. Harden's waiting too long.
Good pressure defense by Milwaukee. Now Durant fires and hits. With the shot clock running down, he hits from downtown. 4-point lead for the Knicks.
Marv can still dial it back and hit 98 when he needs to. I don't know if that's quite like 102, like Jordan for three, yes! But I tell you, that's pretty good for Marv and the current state of Marv. He's obviously the GOAT, set to retire soon, but good stuff on TNT last night. Marv Albert on the call. And that was really, I guess, like the final brush stroke of Kevin Durant's Picasso painting last night.
I kind of like Kevin Picasso. I might go with that.
Right? Yeah, that's kind of what it was last night. Just an absolutely artistic performance by Durant. The Nets beat the Bucks 114-108. So I'm sitting down, kind of like putting my thoughts together, like how I want to arrange this. And it's like, sure. You don't even know where to start. So
no.
here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to read off some stats.
And then we're just going to
go back and forth here. But I want to empty the bucket. I got a lot to say.
Bucket, the bucket's full. And after this segment, it won't be full anymore. It'll be empty.
Okay. So Kevin Durant's stat line last night, it truly is one for the ages. 48 minutes, 49 points. And by the way, for those of people that don't know, there's only 48 minutes in a basketball game unless it goes to overtime. So Kevin Durant played literally.
You had his over and said they couldn't make it high enough was your exact quote.
Well, I guess it could have been 49 and a half and that last missed free throw would have. Well,
maybe next game. Maybe game seven.
So Durant, 48 minutes, 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists. That's triple-double. 16 of 23 from the field. Now, James Harden plays 46 minutes. He was completely useless. But you know what? Credit to James for gutting it out and playing almost the entire game. He was terrible. Yeah. Jeff Green, it ain't easy being green. Unless it's game five in Brooklyn, then apparently it is easy. 27.7 of 8 from downtown. Giannis scores 34. Like, great. He was also just an absolute zero, a negative at the end of the game. Ridiculous. So we'll get to the series prize. We'll get to game six in a second. But we need to talk about game five because, Ken, this game felt enormous. It felt huge. It felt like what you talk about on the show where we get, even though Kyrie wasn't playing, the best of the best in just insanely dramatic games. We make fun of the whole legacy talk, but look, legacy's kind of on the line to a degree last night. It felt massive. The game absolutely delivered. And I'm stuck thinking, like, as great as Durant was, I still think the Bucks should have won the game by 15. So kind of your takes here on the Nets and the Bucks.
Yeah, my first thought was, I can't believe the Bucks lost. That was like my first thought, honestly, watching it. When we spin this ahead to game six and series prices, which have been updated, I'm like really surprised, honestly, by what the series price is right now. There was no way to watch that game and not think Milwaukee was better and that they blew 100 opportunities to win that game. Had a huge lead, a 17-point lead, I believe, at halftime. And you're watching the first half. I'll get to Durant in the finish in a second, but you're watching the first half and you're like, this is Anthony Davis against the Suns. Like, that's what this is. This is like an execution with an audience. it's rough. It was a rough watch. Like the first 15 minutes, basically, because you can tell Harden has nothing. He's out there basically as like a decoy, but he's a plus passer and you would like to think he could hit an open shot. Most of his threes were contested last night, but you know, he'd give you a little bit on offense, but he's a good passer. He'll move the ball effectively.
He made some really good passes, especially in the fourth quarter.
And Milwaukee still has to kind of treat him like he's James Harden a little bit, like a little bit, and we can talk about that with game six as well. They have to at least kind of guard him, and that's better than a lot of the other guys, honestly, that Brooklyn could have played last night. So I know it's easy to laugh at the stat line, but with Harden specifically, because that was the big thing coming into the game, we can do that first. I thought it mattered a ton that he played. It couldn't have mattered more, honestly, that he played, because of who had to play if he didn't, and then what that enabled Brooklyn to do five-man lineup-wise. And then offensively, like, I still think, like, he wasn't a plus because he missed so many shots, but I thought possession by possession, like, Milwaukee had to guard the court, defend the court differently because James Harden was the guy out there. So I thought it mattered a ton that he played even if he didn't make a shot. So that was the kind of the Harden part of it. Now, you talk about the end, the final 5 minutes. Confirms everything we've ever known about both of the superstars involved. Honestly, like, that. Didn't learn anything new, but confirmed to a T everything that we've ever thought about both players. Durant, transcendent scorer, one of the top five scorers in the history of the league, probably. If you had to pick one player in the league in the last 20 years since Jordan who could get you a basket in a big spot, had to get you a bucket, you'd pick, like, what, Pete Kobe, him?
It's those two.
Right.
It's
basically nobody else. And I mean, there's a lot of guys in the conversation, like, you could feed it to Duncan in the post or something, you know, like, you could do something.
Or like Steph or whatever. But it's those two. Shaq. It's Pete Kobe and it's Kevin Durant.
Right. Now, you can't really give it to Shaq because you could just foul him. And then that would be a problem. They even brought that up on Inside the NBA last night. Kenny Smith tried to do it in the most delicate fashion possible, too, which I thought was really funny. Well, they could just foul you, Shaq, just like they could foul Giannis. So it confirmed everything we thought about Durant, one of the best performances of his career. Don't know if it, like, enhanced his legacy necessarily, because he was already held in this very...
That's what people are saying.
Confirmed.
Like, did this drive you nuts, by the way? Yeah. I feel like people were surprised by what Kevin Durant did last night. And I get it. It was like, celestial. He's among the stars. He's in the pantheon. He's already there. He's already among the stars. He's already an immortal, as far as I'm concerned, in the NBA. Yeah. People were, like, surprised by what Durant did last night. I wasn't surprised at all.
He's a regular season MVP, a finals MVP, and he's won titles. Like, I what are we talking about? I don't even understand.
Then he had Steph Curry with him then. Russell Westbrook with him then.
Exactly.
Shut up!
So confirmed all that. And then, yeah, Giannis in the final 5 minutes, it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal to watch. We've done this bit a ton, so we can actually talk about game six and Bucks and adjustments and Coach Bud and all this stuff. But it's one of the most miserable final 5 minutes of a game is when Giannis is involved in that close game. Think about all the stars we have in our league, even the ones that aren't playing right now. Final 5 minutes of a game, game slows way down, right? Have to create really tough shots. Think about all the other superstars we have in our league, right? We have Durant, obviously. We have Kyrie. We have James Harden.
Willard.
Curry and Lillard, you know, like, it just, it's
taking it a step further. Jason Tatum,
right.
Bradley Beal.
We have Luka, we have Kawhi.
That you'd rather have
right.
with the ball in their hands in a spot like this than Giannis.
We have Trae Young. Like, we have, like, guys still left in postseason. We have Donovan Mitchell. Like, we have players. Like, we have all of these players where in the final 5 minutes, I'm like, let's see what this guy can do. This is going to be awesome. Even if he misses, like, this is going to be really awesome. Giannis is one of those guys where you just go, oh, God. Like, really?
Like, did you really? Like that fadeaway over Harden?
Well, Charles was like, close. Killed him after the game on that shot. They ran the video back. He demanded seeing the video multiple times where Harden waves off the help defense. Because, like, obviously you don't want Middleton shooting an open three. Like, yeah, Harden. And because here's the thing. If Giannis gets by Harden, Harden just bear hugs him. And then you know what happens? Giannis makes zero or one from the foul line.
Yes, it's either
probably
one or zero points.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a binary free throw shooter. Zero or one. So, like, the idea of just... Like, the final 5 minutes is supposed to be this, like, dramatic buildup where it's the best of the best and the stars, like, show you everything they have. And, like, here's a guy who I'd never want to watch in that situation my entire life against a guy who I would love to watch in that situation for the rest of his career. So I know that's kind of some big picture-y stuff, but I'll just say this last ton of injury stuff today. We'll talk about all of it. Ton of downer news in the NBA playoffs overall this entire postseason. I described it to you on text earlier. It was like an oasis in the desert for one night. Here was a game with incredibly high stakes that was incredibly dramatic, that had superstars playing, and in one case playing extremely well, and it felt important. And we might not get another one of those games the entire time, but we got one, and it was awesome, and it was such a fun enjoyment, like, to just sit and watch the game. Best game of the postseason by far, and it brought back kind of like why we like the playoffs. So just obviously wanted to get that in there too, that there was just so much to enjoy about it.
You bet. BetQL Audio Network. Costas Barkley running through the Nets Bucks game from last night. We'll spin it forward to game six in the series in a second here, but I got to get some stuff off my chest as it regards this game. You know what? Like, okay, you said, like, it confirmed what we knew about Giannis and Kevin Durant. And you're right. I actually want to take this a step further. Giannis said something after the game last night that, like, I feel like I am going to be anti-Giannis for the rest of his career now. Giannis goes after the game, Kevin Durant's the best player on the planet. and we need to do a better job collectively of defending him. Like, it's true. Like, Durant is better than Giannis. And I'm sure that Giannis, in his heart of hearts, like, when he puts his head down on the pillow at night, and it's me, myself, and I, meaning him, he probably knows that Durant's better than he is. But imagine, like, a star saying that. And imagine being, like, one of his teammates, like, Giannis, you're the two-time MVP, buddy. Imagine him actually saying, Durant's better than me. Like, that's not what I want from my star. And I don't mean to be like all Stephen A. Max Kellerman here, like, stars can't talk like that. I actually think this is true, though. Like, you want your guy to have a killer instinct. You want him to think he's the best, even if he may not know deep down that he's not as good as Durant. Like, imagine saying that. Imagine saying Durant's the best player in the world. He's better than me. Like, really, Giannis? Really? Like, that's what you're saying? After you fumble the ball like Ernest Biner at the goal line in the 1987 AFC Championship game? Really, Giannis? That's what you're saying? How about Coach Bud after the game with more coach speak? Yeah, we got to go back and we got to figure stuff out. How about this, you clown, you idiot? You should have been fired after the Raptors series 2 years ago in the Eastern Conference Final. This isn't even like you need to get your master's degree in coaching. This is stuff they teach you in first grade. You want to stop Kevin Durant? How about you double team him? How about you do that, Coach Bud, moron? You're playing literally 5-on-4 the whole game. James Harden's a non-factor basically the whole game. How about you go at him? He's standing there in the corner. You've got Giannis defending Joe Harris. I mean, this is absolutely insane. So, Ken, we give Kevin Durant his flowers. Kevin Picasso, unbelievable performance. He's a legend. First ballot Hall of Famer. One of the greatest of all time. Maybe the greatest scorer of all time. Next sentence. He could have scored 60, and the Bucks still should have won the game by 15. Like, utter and complete disbelief. Like, as great as Durant was, as great as Jeff Green was, as much credit as James Harden gets for gutting it out, this game was about the Milwaukee Bucks losing it, not Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets winning it.
Yeah. I agree with most of that. And let's talk about game six a little bit, because a lot of these reactions will kind of go into game six. So, Bucks are 5.5. Game six is in Milwaukee. James Harden is confirmed as going to be available in that game. That's already been confirmed. So I think we're just going to run it back again with the same rosters. I don't think we see Kyrie, but given the news we've had this postseason, I guess that's not out of the realm of possibility. Let's assume we're running it back again. I love Milwaukee in this game. I absolutely love Milwaukee in this game. And I'll do you one better from a betting standpoint. I think the approach to game six has to be pretty straightforward. I think there's a ton of blowout potential in this game, because I think if the Nets have any intelligence, and they do, if they're down in game six and like it's bad and it's the third quarter, like they're gonna lose by 100, because they're gonna just be like, yeah, we're good, like we're good, we got it. They couldn't do that last night. Home game, have to win the game to win the series. They can do that in game six. Like, you're down 26 minutes left in the third quarter, and Durant's played every minute up to that point.
Okay, here's Bruce Brown. Here's Landry Shamet. Here's Mike James.
Not even those guys. Like, not even those guys. Like, here's somebody we definitely don't need going forward. Like, here are the guys you haven't even seen yet. You know, like, here's TLC. Here are these guys.
Is Chioza still on the team?
Yeah, Chris Chioza. Yeah, absolutely. Former Florida Gator. I think he's still on the team. So, like, you're going to get those guys. But just, I would play this. I think the Bucks have a ton of blowout potential in the game. What are they -9? What are they -14 on some of these alternates? I'm going to guess the alternate spreads are going to be priced like a normal derivative in a normal NBA game, and they never should be in this game, because I think this game presents like a really interesting kind of setup where one team is way more likely to pack it in earlier than usual if it is not going their way. I think the chance that a scoreline that's very large can hold is so much bigger than in, you know, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, or get, you know, on October 10th in a regular season game or something like that.
Any chance the Bucks pack it in early if the Nets have a hot start to the game?
No. Nope. I mean, if we know anything about Giannis, it's like actually that he doesn't do that. He's like ultra aggressive at all times, even when it's the most inefficient thing in the entire world. Like, it's actually one of the things I kind of appreciate about him, is even though he's like such a flawed offensive player in the half court, he goes at guys. Like, he tries. Like, it's not,
I want to
like trying him. Is not the issue. Yeah.
I want to like him. He's just so annoying. And like the when he has the ball at the elbow and then he just backs up like basically to half court. Can you stop doing that? Like, I really do not have fun watching this team. They are just incredibly stupid.
Made two, so he's taken 10 more tomorrow. You know that. I mean, that's just...
We don't have a ton of time left in this segment, so we have to carry this over. It's all right. Series price. Nets -265. Bucks +210.
I can't I can't believe Milwaukee's this long. I can't believe it. Like, does everyone understand how completely ridiculous the Nets' performance last night was and how very difficult it is to replicate that performance? The Bucks can play the game that they played last night 50 times in a row the next 100 days. Could do it every night. Nothing they did was out of the ordinary. It's all very much within the confines of kind of how they normally play, how they normally shoot, who normally scores, how many minutes everyone plays. They could run back that performance easily, every game, forever. Can the Nets do that one more time, much less twice? Like, much less game six lose, go back to game?
Well, I mean, just... I think Durant, Jeff Green probably can't do that again. Probably not.
Like, how many minutes is Durant playing in game six? Why don't we talk about it more next time? This is a little crazy to me. It's wild.
I can't believe Milwaukee lost. All right, we'll wrap up our thoughts on the Bucks and the Nets. We'll also talk about Kawhi's knee sprain, how to bet Jazz Clippers the series moving forward, and Chris Paul in COVID protocols. Can't make it up.
It's You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network. For the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread, download the BetQL app today. It's You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Next hour, the gambling Twitter DJ, Joey Kanish, is going to join us, give us his takes on how to bet the NBA postseason moving forward. Good luck. It's a minefield. We'll do our best to try and navigate it and make as much money as we can. Ryan Horvat, new addition to the BetQL Audio Network starting next week. Ryan is very talented and entertaining. Can't wait to have him on next hour. He's a Wisconsin guy. We'll talk to him about, you know, the Bucks.
Coach Bud.
The fact that they're huge losers. I don't think I've ever disliked a coach more than I dislike Coach Bud. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I can't deal. I can't watch this guy anymore.
Well, you know what's funny, though? I know a lot of people, and Giannis said this after the game, and that's why it got a ton of traction. And I know a lot of prominent NBA reporters were tweeting this, too. The, like, why isn't Giannis on Durant all the time? All this stuff. Like, I honestly think their problem last night wasn't, like, that Tucker did a bad job on Durant. Like, I honestly don't think that was the problem. I think the Bucks' offense was an F-minus-minus last night. I mean, I really, like... Durant is a trans. If we're saying Durant's like the best scorer of all time, and I think Tucker's like a very, very capable defender.
Tucker played great defense on the highlight we played, that Durant three pointer, and then in the final minute, like the defense was outstanding. What can you do?
Right. What do you want him to do? So it's like, yes, could Giannis guard him a little more? Sure. You know, when Tucker's not in the game, which was some of the late game possessions, sure. Okay. But Giannis is playing the five of that. And that's anyway, like that to me, that wasn't the issue nearly as much as the Bucks on offense and just like how broken it is, basically. So I just wanted to do that too. I had one other note before we just do the series price on game six in the line, because we brought it up right before the break. Bucks 5.5. Does this strike you as odd at all that we find out James Harden is playing? I want to say that game closed Bucks -2 last night once we found out he was playing. I don't know if it went down anymore right before tip.
I think it was two.
Two and a half, two-ish. It's good enough. Bucks closed -2, and that's with some Harden built into it, right? That's with the idea that like he's playing, so the Nets are a better team. Their rating is a little higher. It's obvious he's a 5% of what he should be. So maybe that adjustment was incorrect. We're also flipping home court. Again, give it whatever you want. Yeah, like give it the minimum. Like, you know, one of the lowest home court advantages regular season, 2 points. Call it Detroit. Call it something like that. Like flipping home court, Harden's way worse than we thought. 5.5? After they were favored by 2 last night? We're playing in Milwaukee. Harden, there's no way Harden's 10% of what he was. I just don't understand the number. Like you can bet the Nets. Like, cool, like great. Like
what do you think it should be?
Chokers. I told you, text you 7 was my number. Or I think I might even said 7.5 between those two numbers. I thought it made a ton of sense. Honestly, I understand there's a difference between on paper and actually watching the game. But a lot of times the market's based on paper, and it's based on projecting the game, and it's based on who's going to play. I can't believe the Bucks are this small in this game. Like, I just can't believe it. It honestly makes no sense to me.
What it feels like is like no confidence in Milwaukee, and the team, the players, the coach, and that Durant is going to do it again. And they're going to keep it close.
But think about like why the Nets won. Like the Nets won because
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to be like, play the devil's advocate here. I agree with you.
Like if you like, so if we're like playing the game out, I'm giving Durant 48 minutes again, and I'm giving Harden 46 again. If they just played last night. Like, what are we talking about?
How about this? Maybe we're talking about it too much, and maybe we should just go, shh, just bet on Milwaukee.
Well, I don't think we're gonna have that problem. I mean, I think there'll be people willing to bet Brooklyn off of what we've seen so far from Milwaukee in the series. I totally get that. I cannot believe this is the number. Like, I'm actually astonished. After it closed two and Harden sucks, we're going to get 5.5. We switch home court. Really?
You know what I can't believe?
It's crazy to me.
You know what I can't believe? I went 4-1 betting props last night in this game, and I left the game annoyed because Milwaukee didn't win. And
I lost. I went 1-3 total on my bets, and I was elated. Like, I was so happy.
It's just
they're on life support, but they got a chance here.
I'll just reiterate, like, sure, as great as Kevin Durant was, the Bucks should have still won the game by 15 points last night. Anyway, all right. So we'll full breakdown of game 6 tomorrow in the Power Hour.
Yes.
On We Better You Bet.